Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. These are the words that we will be singing after the message. How do we believe and understand those words? What meaning is there in them for us as we face the future? How do we deeply feel them? Are we like Thomas, who doubted until he could see for himself? The only way we see is if we can fathom the truth of Jesus' resurrection and life in and through us. St. Paul writes in his first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 15, verse 17, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile." Please join me in prayer. Dear God, Creator, one who loves, fills, and strengthens us, bless our hearing and telling of the good news of Jesus risen. Because he lives, we have the knowledge that we too live and breathe. Because Jesus lives, we know that life after life is real. Let us take this precious knowledge and feel the hope that comes from knowing. Let us let go of fear. Let us listen for your truth. Let us sink with your heartbeat. God, give us your assurance of what we can't know, but accept with faith. Touch us with your gentle hand. Amen. Jesus lives. We said it last week. It's a mantra of Christians everywhere. How do we know that Jesus lives? We read it in Scripture, the sacred writings of those who experienced God, who have experienced God and have put those experiences into writing. Those who were witnesses of Jesus' life. That Jesus was a real person is not hard to figure out. There are other texts besides scriptures about Jesus soon after his time here in person that affirm his being. I have a stack of books over there. Anyone is welcome to go and look at them. They have all of the listings of different letters that were written by the Romans or Josephus and explanation about those if you need them. Here's what Scripture tells us. All of the Gospels show us the empty tomb. All but one specifically write about Jesus appearing to people after his resurrection. Then the book of Acts tells about more of these appearances and a further visit to Paul the Apostle. It is a combination of all of these that helped people continue to follow Jesus because he lived. The people who had followed Jesus before his death now understood and believed how extraordinary Jesus and his message really was. After Jesus' ascension into heaven, the disciples went out in earnest to spread the good news. The good news about the coming of the kingdom of God and the way of Jesus. The division of Jewish communities whose beliefs in Jesus and those who didn't believe in Jesus happened fast. The Romans thought the Christians were a pesky bunch and worked out a way to find and get rid of as many as possible, and yet the message continued to spread. This belief of Jesus' resurrection is a difficult one. None of us has ever seen anyone rise from the dead, as I said with the children. Death is a mystery, and we all have to face it, and we all face it in awe and amazement. How many of you have read the Harry Potter books? Not very many, I'm surprised. I've been talking a little bit to the Toms about these books because I love them so much. J.K. Rowling has written masterfully about death in these books. The last one, The Deathly Hallows, in this book, there's a time when the main character, Harry Potter, goes to see his parents' graves. The parents he had no chance of knowing because they died when Harry was a year old. The caption on the gravestone states, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." His companion, Hermione, says, "It means, you know, living beyond death, living after death." Harry has difficulty understanding this because he reasons that his parents are actually decaying under the earth. Harry has lost people who were close to him in his lifetime and knew he couldn't speak to them the same way again. He couldn't touch or hold them, have a conversation with them. So there's something in another book that about Harry Potter, and I can't remember which one it is. I think it's The Prisoner of Azkaban, maybe the next one. And Harry's mentor, Dumbledore, says this about death. To a well-ordered mind, death is but the next great adventure. Of course, the tales about Harry Potter are made up by the writer. I acknowledge that. But these are some stories that we can relate to, and stories help us to make sense of things. I think it's why Jesus used parables, because stories are so compelling. And they help us grow. Also, the idea of the last enemy being death is not new to us as Christians. It's part of Scripture. I believe that the Christians who were happily martyred for their beliefs had a similar thought to the one in J.K. Rowling's writing. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. There was no fear in bodily death to them. The next great adventure was waiting for them in the future of their existence. Death was conquered by not fearing it, as being the end of them, and more fully knowing that where they were going was a place of joy and acceptance. Some martyrs actually stood in line in their best clothing and had a party waiting for their death to come. So maybe the last enemy is really fear itself. Jesus' resurrection is a promise for us. The idea that death cannot hold us is of great comfort. Jesus gives us what we need for every moment of our lives: hope. We hope in the safety of the words given to us. We hope in the way that is taught about love. We hope in the life and beauty of Jesus, the freedom we have in this knowledge of grace, securely given and fully given. We cannot do it on our own. We never do it entirely on our own. Because he lives, we can face all that life throws at us. A God that is in the ground gives us none of the hope we are looking for. A God who conquers death and brings life is a God of hope and justice. That we can get behind. Because Jesus lives, we live. Jesus' words help us to live lives of freedom here and now. When we pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we acknowledge the kingdom of God everywhere. To us as Christians, we have been given this hope from the very words of Jesus. Jesus is the Savior because God has dictated it as a truth according to Scripture. How we understand that truth is up to each one of us. Jesus lives in each one of us. We have been given the gift that is already part of our very being, to know and feel it for ourselves. It is how we are made. It is up to us to acknowledge that truth for ourselves. I believe that this is what the Apostle means when he says, "Continue to work out your salvation." We must work out our own internal feeling about how we can come into relationship with the divine, a place of healing and peace. It is our wholeness that we can see who we really are, where our love comes from, and how we send it out into the world. There is power in our assurance. As much as I would love to show you the wonder that I feel as a believer, I cannot fully explain it. Your faith can only come from within you, from deeply within your own hearts. That is the divine that lives in each of us, that I am sure of. What you and I choose to do with that divine light and power is up to us, as we are called to see it and respond to it. Jesus lived as a person, that we can know from history and the stories written about him. That Jesus was resurrected from the dead, we can surmise from the same sources. Jesus lives in the words and teachings attributed to him. We can see that in the many who have followed those teachings in the past 2,000 years. Jesus lives in all who follow him and work to follow his example. Jesus lives so we can live. We as a community work hard to live the way of Jesus. The teaching of a loving God and loving one another is key to our being. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because we know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.